We gonna get started in a minute, y'all. Yeah. If you watching the replay, you know how to hit the fast forward button. Usually 5 to 10 minutes ahead. Let's get it. We gonna have a good show. Let some people get in here. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Let me pull up something from Rich Cooper. We're going to go over real quick. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. About to get started in a minute, y'all. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. All right, let's get started, y'all. Give me 20 seconds. Maybe a little longer. All right, we're going to go over some dingbats. I might read an article. I want to go over this Rich Cooper clip. And who else, and who knows what else we're going to get into before it's all said and done. But let's talk about crypto real quick. Not too long. I just want to do a brief overview. I know what you might be thinking. What does a dating coach know about finance or crypto? First off, I'm not a dating coach. Second off, a person can have a wealth of knowledge about a cornucopia of different things. So don't box me in. You know what I mean? But let's talk about crypto just for a second. Don't leave. We're going to get to the dingbats. But I just want to go over this. Now, 99% of cryptos are scams. I'm completely admitting that. But I can't remember how many cryptos there are now. 100,000, 200,000, a million. So what's 1% of a million? That's still 10,000 that aren't scams. Now, here's the thing. How do you decide which ones are scams or which one are not? Well, some people just think they're all just Ponzi's. They're, you know, pump and dump Ponzi's. And there's probably some truth to that. But some of them actually do have technology that may be adopted in the real world. But I would say that shouldn't be the main thing you consider when thinking about investing, because your goal should be to get in and get out. Now, get in and get out doesn't mean, you know, you invest $1,000 today and in 3 days you get out. I mean, you can day trade, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about long-term investment. So what you want to do is buy at the bottom of the market. Make sure it's a strong coin. Buy at the bottom of the market. Wait for, I would say, anywhere from 1 to 3 years for it to pump. 2x, 3x, 5x, 10x, 30x. But I wouldn't advise waiting for, you know, 20, 30, 40x. If you go on YouTube and look at most of the, you know, crypto influencers, they're going to try to sell you 50x's and 100x's. I learned my lesson with that. Get your 5 to 10x and get the fuck out of there. If you want 100x, you'd be better off waiting for a 10x, taking your money out and looking for the next 10x. Don't put your money in and hold it and wait for 100x. That probably won't come. So that's the first advice I want to give about crypto. Don't listen to motherfuckers talking about 100x. Is it possible? Yes. Does it happen sometime? Yes. But don't hold your breath for that. Get your 5 and 10x and get the fuck out of Dodge. Because you definitely ain't getting a 5 to 10x in the S&P 500 in 1 to 3 years. And sometimes it might not take that long. But anyway, you get the point. But right now, Bitcoin is at 64,000. Bitcoin leads the crypto market. So, you know, if Bitcoin is down, all the other altcoins, all the other coins are going to be down usually. So the strategy is to buy when Bitcoin is crashed all the way out. So I think it was the end of 2022. Bitcoin was, I think it went down as low as 15 to 17,000. That's when you want to buy. The time you want to get involved in crypto is when everybody is saying crypto is dead. Now, I'm not saying it never will die, but I just don't see it at this point. It's too many billionaires in it now. You know what I mean? It's too many big companies involved. I just don't see it dying over the next 10 to 20 years. I'm sorry. I just don't. But anyway, the point is, when everybody's saying, oh, crypto dead, Bitcoin going to zero, that's when you need to be looking at coins to buy. When everybody else is scared, that's when you're supposed to be greedy. When everybody is greedy, that's when you're supposed to get scared and sell. You know what I mean? So I wanted to go into some more detail about crypto, but it looks like I lost some followers. So maybe I should just stop there. Maybe I'll get to back to it at the end of the stream. Let's go to, let me know what y'all think. I'm going to go to the first video that we're going to go over. But let me know what y'all think about me talking about crypto in the comment section. All right, first clip I want to go over is, where is it? Here it is. It's Rich Cooper talking to some guy about what advice he would give his daughter. Something like that. Turn the volume down for this ad. Wait for the skip button. Everybody hit the like button when you come in. All right, here we go.
Married, and she wants to have a family. Yeah. My daughter wants to get married, and she wants to have a family.
Yeah, at what age though?
Sooner than later, probably, yeah. Right? But I tell her, like, that's fine, and I said, baby, I want that for you. I want you to have that life, but I also want you to have the skills to take care of yourself so you don't have to end up getting stuck in a bad relationship. Right.
And this is where dads go wrong. I get his sentiment. I get his sentiment. But as a dad, your job is to make sure you're vetting the guy. You know what I mean? So you won't have to worry about, you know, if this go bad one day, I want you to be able to take care of yourself. I mean, there's no guarantees. You can vet a guy all you want and it could not work out. There's no way as a father to guarantee the guy you picked or approved to be your daughter's husband is going to be a great guy from here on out. You know, he might get a, you know, drug addiction or alcohol addiction and turn into a different person. But what I'm saying is, look, I wouldn't tell my daughter to, oh, you know, go get your degree and a good job just in case. Like, no, F that. I want my, you know, hypothetical daughter to invest in a man, get married early, and do everything it takes to make that work. And if you want to go get a degree, you know, within your marriage, then go get a degree if that's what worked for you and your husband. But I'm telling my daughter, the main aspect of your life that you need to be worrying about from 15 to 22 is locking down your life partner. That's more important in college. It's more important in education, career, friends, family, whatever. You need to lock down a man. Because after 22, it get real sketchy and you're looking at dating apps and dating apps and bars. And that's not where I want you to find your husband. The best time for you to find your life partner is high school and college. The hell with a backup plan. I'm your backup plan. If it go wrong with him, I got you. You know what I mean? I'm a support. If it go wrong with your husband and you would be justified in leaving him, and it was, you know, a justified reason for you leaving him, I'm going to make sure you straight, baby. Fellas, don't tell your daughters to focus on a degree and a job so she don't need a man. That's not what women need to hear, man. I'm telling my daughter she need a man. Fucking period. And I want her to have one early. I just had to straighten that out real quick.
Right. So I want her to have that, but I want her to be able to have choices for herself so she's not forced into that.
See, so what you're doing is you're creating a conflict, because what you said earlier is that, you know, you should work things out, but then you're also giving her the advice that she should be able to take care of herself in case she gets stuck into the wrong relationship.
No, it's not.
So
it's,
that's almost like giving the opt-out for divorce. It's
not in case and there's an opt-out. It's so that she doesn't jump into something bad.
Yeah.
Well, your job as a dad is to be heavily involved in the process. Like, I mean, hey, you can't force yourself into that equation, I guess, but you should have been raising her from 7. Like, hey, when you start having a boyfriend, you got to get approved from dad. I got to meet him. You got to come over. I want to hang out with him a few times. Like, it's a whole process that should be instilled in her at an early age, that I'm going to be a part of the process. Like, even after you turn 18. But see, if you raised her up to be a part of the process, when she turned 18 and 19, you ain't got to worry about her shunning you out. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but that would be my attempt,
I think.
Okay, so
I just don't, you know, I don't want her to go like, well, you know, this guy's kind of a loser, but he says he's going to take care of me, so I guess I'll go for it.
Yeah.
Like, she could be a little bit more picky.
Yeah.
And I want her to be picky.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't she? She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's super smart and talented.
Is there...
Well, yeah, from your perspective, she's great. She's your princess. Why shouldn't she be picky? Because, look, here's... hate to break it to you, bud. Here's the thing. Women aren't a prize in a relationship for 50 years. That's why she shouldn't be picky. Like, let's look at the bigger picture. That's your daughter, so she's a princess. She's a goddess, yada, yada. I get it. She came from your balls. I get your perspective. But if we're looking from the perspective of the real world and how the guy's gonna see her and what the guy's actually gonna have to deal with for 50 years, she's no prize, buddy. I don't care how gorgeous she is, that's fading. And I don't care how smart she is, usually that doesn't play too much of a factor in a romantic relationship with a man, how smart she is. So no, she shouldn't be picky. I mean, she should be picky when it comes to character. I advise all women to be picky when it comes to a man having character, a man being responsible, being able to pay his bills on time, stuff like that. But no, all that other stuff, no. She shouldn't be picky with looks, height, social status, none of that other bullshit. Yeah, but she shouldn't be picky. Picky is a woman's downfall, as we learned in the RP community. The hell with picky.
Is there an age range that you recommend her to date in, or do you offer any guidance there?
Like in her, what age range?
Yeah, like, you know, looking for a future husband.
Honestly, that's a question, that's a conversation that we haven't had. The older that we get, I think the less age is factor, mm-hmm. meaning like when you're 11 years old, 1 year difference is big, right? Mm-hmm. When you're 40 years old, 40 or 50, like whatever, right?
Yeah.
But so I think as you get older, that range probably matters less. Mm-hmm. But like I said, honestly, that's a conversation that we've never had.
So let's just say that she's 20. And like if she brought home 20. A guy that's like 30 or 35, yeah. would that be a problem for you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be
I mean, I get it. It would be a problem because he would feel like, what, the 35-year-old is taking advantage of the 20-year-old? I don't know. I get the mental hang-up, 15 years older. But I mean, me knowing what I know now, being in this community, it just depends. You can tell if he's – you usually can tell if he's – you know, a douchebag 30, 35-year-old, or if he's a 30, 35-year-old who didn't really do well with the ladies, haven't done well with the ladies in his whole life, and, you know, he met your daughter, and he's really trying to do right by her. You know, it just depends. Y'all can let me know in the comment section. Would you have a problem with your 20-year-old daughter bringing home a 35-year-old man? Look, my whole deal is he a good dude? I mean, if she brought home a 50-year-old man, yeah, no. I'd have a problem with it. But 30, I'd be fine with it. The 10-year difference, 20 and 30, I'd be fine with it. Because he's probably established, yada, yada, yada.
The cap, like the ceiling, 25, 30? Like
probably 25.
Yeah.
Maybe a little higher, but certainly yeah. in the 20s.
See, for me, when I
she's got a boyfriend
evaluate
now, 23.
That, yeah, like I wouldn't have a problem if she's 20 and she brought home a 30-year-old. If the guy's squared away, he's solid, you know, he's got a good life, he's competent, he's influential, he's, you know, the unplugged yeah. alpha sort of guy.
I wouldn't say that. I haven't really thought about this, so yeah. you're catching me off guard here.
Well, you need to think about it. Fathers need to think about this with their daughter. Maybe fathers need to be more involved with their daughter. I don't know. But I got all this figured out in my mind already. You know what I mean? But then again, we in the RP community, so maybe it's unfair to, you know, expect that from average Joes.
I wouldn't say that's the single most important factor. It's yeah. a range of things.
Yeah.
If you're 30 and you're a deadbeat, yeah. right? Versus 30 and you're put together and you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Right? So there's...
But here's the conflict. Like... Women usually don't pick the guys when they're left to their own devices that their dad would pick. They don't want the good guys. They want the, I ain't gonna say they want the low lobs, but women tend to go for the guys who are the least likely to be good husband material. He may be hot, he may have social status, but they pick the guys who have the least incentive to take one woman serious. But that's why the dad should pick. It shouldn't be about, you know, what the chick wants. I mean, she should like the guy, but this is why I think the dad should pick. I'll just say that. Because who the woman gonna like most of the time ain't gonna be the type of guy that she should be with.
There's a range of factors in yeah. there, I would say.
I mean, like, well, most younger guys, especially in their early 20s, they're kind of like going downstream, you know, with yeah. the dead fish. They don't know really what they're doing. There are some rare exceptions, but I think on a balance of probabilities, and I operate in balance
of strong
probabilities.
But that's almost a non-starter, though, because,
that?
Like, that's almost a non-starter. So for me, I believe that, like, your early 20s is when you put your life together.
Okay.
And I think that most people waste that most important time. And for the reason why I think it's
right,
most...
so if you want your daughter to get married, wouldn't you want her...
If you live in the United...
They keep cutting each other off. I mean, yeah, it's just rough. It's rough. So far as who's being rude and who's not, they're both kind of cutting in. But maybe this is just how men talk, right? But, you know, it's definitely important to be respectful. Let the man finish. This is just some advice. If we talking about respectable manhood. I mean, I get cutting in sometimes, but it's rude. Like, let the man finish his thought. And then you can speak.
United States and don't have life insurance, this message is for you. Until the end of this...
...to find a guy that's already got his life together rather than putting his life together because he's demonstrated a strong track record of success at 30 versus 23 trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not saying she should get married to a 23-year-old. I'm certainly not saying that. I got married when I was 28,
yeah.
Which is young, seemingly in today's standards. My wife was 24 at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good split. He was 28. He was a little older. His brain was fully developed. He got his wife when she was under 25. She did the buzzer beater. She was almost at that mental wall. But okay, I'll consider that an acceptable decision, especially when he was 28. But he said something like, well, I'm not telling her to marry a 23-year-old or whatever. But no, this is when she needs to get married at 23.
So, yeah, I'm not saying she's married 23-year-old. But thankfully, thank God, my biggest fear is that she goes with some deadbeat and she's probably not going to listen to this, so it probably won't matter. But she's had so far she's had 3 boyfriends. Mm-hmm. And they've all been great people, all great guys that I...
Well, why didn't it work out? Okay, I think he said she's 20 and she had 3 boyfriends. Look, if she's on the third one now, this is her last strike. So let's just fairly assume, you know, okay, she had 3 boyfriends. Let's just say she had one at 16, one at 18, and one now that she's 20. And it's fair to assume... she let him clap, all 3 of them. So this is her last shot, in my opinion. After 3 bedroom fun partners, her pair bonding ability is pretty much shot. The chances that she'll ever be in a 50, 60, 70-year relationship or marriage after the third strike is slim to none. So I hope this is her husband that she on now, buddy.
I think are really great choices.
Why didn't they turn into a marriage?
Well, I mean, you know, she's in high school, right? Okay. Or whatever, right? So,
no, that's not an excuse. Plenty of people marry their high school sweetheart. So him saying, oh, you know, she's in high school, that's why I didn't turn into marriage. No, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good reason. I mean, a lot of people go to that, hey, well, she was young. Come on. She was basically a kid. Come on. No. She had 3 boyfriends from, let's just say, from... I would imagine he's not counting 12 and 13. So let's just say from 15 to now that she's 20, she had 3 boyfriends. None of them turned into marriage. I'm just saying, it ain't looking good, buddy.
One of her last boyfriend was, I thought he was a stud, like buff, great family, super motivated. But you know, she's like, I'm not feeling it, whatever.
See, oh, I'm not feeling it. That's not a good reason. That's why she wasn't feeling it, because he was a great fucking guy, and that's boring to women. And this is why they shouldn't have control of that part of their lives, or really just any part of their lives. I think women should be under the control of their dad and then under the control of their husband. Not like in a bad way, but you know what I mean. She should be under the guidance and protection of her father and then go straight to the guidance and protection of her husband. I don't believe all this women being left to their own devices, period, in any way. I mean, some exceptions, but you know what I mean.
They're young, right? Obviously. Right. She's going out with a pro surfer now. He's like the number one rookie on the world tour. Like
Chad, pro surfer Chad. So, yeah, she's chasing Chads. And then he said the other guy before him was buff. See, so, yeah, she's like it's pretty much everyone. But he said my daughter's gorgeous. So every gorgeous woman is going to chase the top 10% dudes in their environment. But the top 10% dudes... are the least likely to take you serious. And then even if you... Here's the crazy thing. Even if they get a top 10% dude to take them serious, they're going to get bored with him because he's so good and nice and well-behaved. So you just... They can't win when they're left to their own devices. Their brain isn't fit to make these decisions. So they're going to F it up 90% of the time. Like his daughter is doing. His daughter's probably done. Whatever boyfriend she on, this is the last shot. The pro surfer dude, that's who she's on now. But look, what are the chances that she's going to marry the pro surfer dude? Come on, man. So, yeah, she's done.
To make it to the highest level of sport, you're obviously very focused and you're on your path, right? Like, I like that. Does it mean he's got everything figured out in life? No. And obviously, like, I'm not expecting him to get married in a year or two either. But, like, it's for me, it's more of, like, do they have the raw ingredients and are they going the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
No, you should be expecting them to get married. That should be the standard. Like, are you looking at that's the whole thing about what's your intentions with my daughter? Because we ain't just hanging out and fucking. You ain't just about to hang out and fuck my daughter, basically. I mean, you don't got to say it like that, but you know what I mean. Like, if you guys aren't dating for marriage, then no, you don't have my blessing to date my daughter.
I don't know. We're going down a whole rabbit hole.
Yeah,
but the question I wanted to ask, though, is it sounded like maybe before we started recording that you were talking about that you didn't really even believe in marriage. Like, you think most guys should not get married. They should just be in a partnership.
Yeah, for men, it's not a good deal. For women, it's a great deal. Because,
I mean, it's crazy to think about it. Like, it used to cost millions to advertise on TV. And
because it's low risk, high reward, because they're hypergamous, they're going to marry across and up on a socioeconomic scale. They're generally going to find or marry a guy that's wealthier, more successful, more influential, more competent, all those sorts of things. So for guys, it's not generally the best deal. So for most men, it's like you really have to evaluate what you're dealing with before you invite her into your life. And even then, I would encourage them to take precautionary steps. So, I mean, half the time, the knot is going to untie based on the statistics today.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself because I'm telling the girl to get married. And then on this portion, I would say, yeah, guys, don't get married. Because, like, I mean, yeah. The thing is, I would want my daughter to get married and I wouldn't want my son to get married. So, yeah, it is a contradiction. But because it's going to be a good deal for my daughter and a bad deal for my son. But hopefully, the thing is, I would raise my daughter to be a good wife. So it wouldn't be a bad deal for that guy. Or it would be the best deal you can get with a woman. I'll just say that. I mean, there's ups and downs to being with a woman, period. But you know what I mean.
Hey, so why not live somewhere that's friendly towards fathers? So that's another idea that you have to sort of have a conversation about, because right now on the National Parenting Organization site, they have a report card that rates all the states in the U.S. as far as where the best place is for fathers. So if you lived in a state that's hostile, for example, you might want to move to Florida, Michigan, or even California. California's got downsides with maintenance and alimony, but when it comes to custody, it's 50-50 by default. You don't have to fight over that. So there's important decisions that you have to make when it comes to getting married, rather than let me just get married to the first girl that touches my peepee, which is the thought process that most guys make, because like I said earlier, men prioritize availability. So if she's responsive and likes him and wants to see him and responds when, you know, he texts her, sort of thing, for him that's great, right? But she has,
I mean, yeah, that's all it takes to get the average guy locked in as a woman. Just be nice to him, you know, let him pound that out a few times and he's ready for marriage, you know, because his brain ain't fully developed before 25. And a lot of times guys just don't wake up to this stuff ever, you know, far as the true nature of women.
She has a longer laundry list of stuff that she's going through. So again, it's very, very different conversations that I would have with a son versus a daughter. And those are contradictory, by the way.
Yeah, they are. Obviously, I picked up on that. Yeah. Okay. Interesting stuff. You know, I think back to the nature versus nurture, like obviously we've led different lives and we've come to different outcomes. And so then we see the world differently.
Yeah.
Well, no, female nature is the same. I don't care what life you live, bro. Female nature is the same. It don't matter what your experiences were. You know what I mean?
You know, which is last night we had these debates about money and I said, that's what makes a market, right? We have different views on it. You know, for me, I just see it differently. You know, for me, it was like, why would I ever have a girl sign a prenup? Like, to me, that seems like I'm saying the marriage is doomed before it's even started.
Mm-hmm. And that's the programming that, you know, the media has done to men. It's not romantic to get a prenup. I mean, I'm basically saying it's going to be doomed. No, man, it's called being practical and smart and logical like a man should be. I don't think a man should be romantic. Well, let me put it like this. If a man's going to be romantic, he should come at it from a practical, logical standpoint. Like, look, I'm going to set up these rose petals because it'll make her feel good. And it's, you know, I want to have a good night with her. And, you know, I just feel like doing something nice. But not because you truly believe in this bullshit. But you just, look, you want to have a good night. You want to do something nice for her. Nothing wrong with that. But you're looking at it from a practical, logical standpoint. You ain't like, this is so beautiful and the stars are shining just bright and this is so magical. No, I don't think any man should look at it like that. Because that's how dudes get fucked over.
And that's just my thought process.
Yeah.
And that might be naive,
yes,
but I'm also
naive.
In a thought process that, man, if I got divorced from my wife, I'd probably just want to give her half.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't she get half?
Is this some simp or am I being too harsh on him? Is this some punk as simp? I mean, no, you ain't getting half. You wasn't with me shooting in the gym. I mean, I'll give you something. Like, yeah, if we got married at 23 and you was riding or dying and I messed up and I cheated or something and you left me, yeah, I'll give you something. I'll throw you something. But a lot of times women divorce the man for stupid, frivolous reasons or because she was bored. No, I'm not giving you half because you was bored. Well, shouldn't I give her half? That's why. Because she divorced you over some bullshit. That's why you shouldn't give her half.
It's like she's not always just half, and then there's also elements or whatever you can write into the prenup that will govern that relationship as the knot is untied.
Yeah, I think, but you had said something earlier, like with my...
Because it's still a legal contract. I mean, you're okay with signing the legal contract of marriage, but you're not okay with signing a contract that prepares how the marriage might dissolve if you get out of it. It's like, you know, if you... And,
in a business partnership,
you
would put
boil
that
it down to like a business partnership or leasing a car, but it's...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would tell fellas... don't actually get married. I would say, you know, have the ceremony, buy the ring. You know, you could let the woman know, look, I'm serious about you. I'm committed to you. I bought you this ring. We having this ceremony in front of all of our friends and family. I'm taking this just as serious as a real marriage. But don't sign no legal paperwork. Yeah, flat out. Let's go to this article I want to go over. Holler at me in the comment section, y'all. Let me know something, anything. All right, I'm getting to it. Give me a second, y'all. All right, I just wanted to test the audio real quick. Let's get into it. This is from Jonna Hawking. She's some journalist hoe. She always got these cringy articles, you know, where she's exposing herself for being pathetic. So on today's pathetic article, she says, I'm a sex and relationship expert, a.k.a. a retired hoe who wanted to monetize being a retired pathetic hoe. So I became a sex and relationship expert, even though I can't keep a relationship myself, but you should take advice from me. Makes total sense. Here's why I went celibate. Look, man, this is a complete joke when women try to go celibate, you know, after they didn't already been ran through. No man with a brain is going to take that concept serious. It's that simple. This is a tactic to trick a simp, you know, to sign up for a bad deal and to jump through hoops to get a bad deal. Can't wait to get to the comments. Here's a sentence I never thought I would be uttering. Celibacy. Yeah, we know. It's so hot right now. I kid you not. TikTok, the oracle of all upcoming trends, has called it celibacy is in and sex is out. Why are you 30 plus still getting your... you know, cues from TikTok? This is just crazy. So cross your legs, ladies. Zip your pants up, gents. Not gonna happen. Top 10% men are not zipping their pants up, and we know those are the type of men you're trying to lock down. And you acting like you a, you know, virgin again and not having sex is not gonna help you lock them down. Because, you know, trend has reached its peak when celebrities are harping about it in interviews far and wide. With Lenny Kravitz, Julia Fox, and even Lady Gaga raving about the benefits of giving it up. Those are celebrities. You're not a fucking celebrity. That's how social media tricks the average, you know, Jane woman. They think that things that work for celebrities can work for them. It's stupid. It says, clear minds, better decision making, more brain space to focus on other things. Now, that all sounds fabulous, but where do our hormones go? Do we bury them deep inside? That sounds really horrible. So it's no surprise that I poo-pooed this idea at first. My belief has always been that sometimes all you need for a bit of stress release is a good old romp. You nasty, nasty hoe. I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, disgusting if you were talking about with your husband, but you're talking about with random guys from the bar and tender, so it's disgusting. But never one to skip a trend, I decided to give it a go. So you teenager stuck in a 30-year-old's body, 30-plus-year-old's body. So for 3 months, I dated solidly and didn't put out once. I was a queen of the blue balls. Y'all believe her? Did she really date for 3 months and not get clapped once? Bars. I don't believe it. Well, here's the thing. This is what she probably did. She dated guys for 3 months and didn't have sex with the new guys she was dating for 3 months, but she was still, you know, getting plowed, you know, and disavowed by, you know, the guys on her roster and her phone. But she ain't gonna mention that. Now look at this. Look at this picture. It's supposed to be like a slutty princess, I guess, or something. It's just cringe when you're dressing like this post 30. I mean, at 22, this would have been super hot. And I mean, she's not bad looking, but it's cringe because you this old. It's not cringe because you look so bad in it. It's cringe because it's desperate at this age. And you should have something more to offer than having your boobs pushed together for the internet at this point. And writing stupid articles like this. Okay, facilitator off the cock. Oh, facilitator of the cock block. Frigid flirt of the dating scene. I had many realizations during this time, and it honestly was eye-opening experience. So let me share with you the pros and cons of abstaining from that glorious thing known as boinking. Grow the fuck up. I mean, I could say boink because I have an immature guy channel, but I mean, coming from you, it's just, you know. You're supposed to be sophisticated and classy. That's what this wine glass is supposed to give off, right? So you shouldn't be saying boinking. Pro, it divided the good guys from the time wasters. We know they don't want good guys. The first thing I noticed is how many guys just assume sex is guaranteed on first date. No, certain guys think sex is guaranteed on the first, you know, dates. And you know what type of guys those are. Because that is their norm. Their norm is getting laid on the first date. They got it like that. It's not shocking at all to me or to her. She know how these guys roll. This is who she's been getting, you know, played by for 15 years. Don't get me wrong. I would be offended if a handsome guy didn't at least try to get me nude after a date. See? Fucking hypocrites. But their shock when I said no was almost comical. I had two separate guys continue to try even harder after I had hopped in my Uber home. I received thirsty texts such as, "Are you sure? I can get an Uber straight to yours." And, "Babe, seriously, let's have some fun." Yeah, that's desperate. That's cringe, guys. Don't ever do that. The more you cool with not boinking her, the more she gonna wanna boink you. If you act like you never had none before, it's a huge turnoff. Okay, so clearly, these guys were hoping for a bit of action and not much else because I did not hear from them afterward. Exactly. You're not worth anything else. If you were, you'd be in a marriage by now. But the ones who are cool with it are still in the picture. Bravo, gents. Damn suckers. Still paying for dates. And little do they know, they're part of an experiment. Ain't that effed up? They think they're being gentlemen. They think they might have found the one. They probably don't know she a journalist. They don't know all this is being documented. They getting played for a damn fool. See what being a nice guy to women get you? Humiliated all over the internet. The con. I was horny as hell. Honestly, a hint of wind across the nips, and I was ready to get down and freaky with almost anyone. She's telling on herself what type of woman she is. Why is it that when we're not allowed to do something, we want it more? Bad boys, ice cream, sex. It's cruel. Cruel world. I don't know why people are saying it clears the mind. For me, it made me think of nothing but sex. I mean, I hit it. She ain't bad looking. But nah, since I know how, you know, cringe she is, nah. I'd rather jerk it. Pro, I look damn classy. Keyword, she looked damn classy. But she know damn well she not actually classy. But it was cool to look it for a change. Instead of looking like a trashy white hoe. But it's quite empowering to have the upper hand when it comes to sex. Y'all always have had the upper hand. The sexual tension is glorious and it makes the wait worthwhile. Well, not technically on the first go. That's fairly quick. But the second go, well, that's worth waiting for. Your stretched out poon ain't worth waiting for, lady. Cut it out. Con. If I'm being completely honest, I was a bit grumpy. Sex has always been a good release of dopamine, and that's all they care about chasing, dopamine. Nothing of substance, just quick dopamine rushes. Bars. A lovely way to stop the brain from thinking about anything other than what's going on in the current moment. And here's the thing. Women love escaping reality. They hate sitting with their own brain because they're bullshit people. They hate sitting with all the bad decisions they've been making and how it's affecting their current life. They love distracting themselves from reality. They fucking love it. Because reality is harsh when you ain't young and hot no more. Without it, you're left with all your thoughts, see? And you never want to be left with all of them. That's exactly what I said, and I didn't even read ahead. I already know. I would hate living in a woman's head. I spoke to OnlyFans couple and relationship experts, Stace and Ty, about why they think the trend is ridiculous, and they said, how do you discover what you do and don't want sexually if you're not having sex? Yeah, this is the effed up effinist mentality. You got to have a bunch of sex to know what you want so you can, you know, pick the right husband. Yeah, that's what you should pick a husband on. Who's the best in bed? These women are through. In our line of work, I would encourage individuals to deeply understand why they want to explore celibacy and to work on the fundamental underlying issue rather than using sex as a scapegoat. Well, that was kind of good advice. I'm shocked. Unless they have experienced trauma, which is a different conversation, I would encourage them to be open-minded and not close off anything completely. Sex and relationships can be an impactful teacher for self-discovery as long as you're approaching them with curiosity and staying true to your own values. Yeah, okay. Oh, let's read the comments. Oh, what's the last sentence? And to that, I say, hear. Before you ban yourself from something completely, why not ponder on why it is you think you must? Will I be doing it again? No. I'm glad to have it a go. I'm glad I gave it a go. Yeah, sure, lady. Let's see what the comments are. Oh, this one says, just for the record, Jonna didn't choose this. She has no choice because the male populace finds her obnoxiously annoying. Men find a lot of women annoying, and I don't think they get it. Men just put up with it when they're young and hot because we want to, you know, hit some skins. But we don't find most women likable to just be in a room with. The bad idea is find someone, have a loving relationship, stay faithful, and celibacy will not be a problem. Takes work, though. And women hate that, putting work into anything that's not, you know, shallow and superficial. All right, let's go to the next thing. Should we do a crypto break? Let's do a crypto break. So, here's the thing. When you're looking for cryptos to get into, don't look at the price and look and say, oh, this one right here is 55 cents. So if it get to 64,000, I'll make such and such amount of money. No, that's not how it works. It's all about this number here, the market cap. Bitcoin market cap is 1.2 trillion right now. 1.2 trillion. So when you want to think about how big a crypto can get, you want to consider the market cap and compare it to other cryptos that are like this crypto to compare the two. Another big thing in crypto is narratives. So you want to go with whatever is the hot narrative. So right now the hot narrative is AI, real world assets, gaming. And usually, let me see. Usually they have something at the top that says what, like, the hot narratives is. What the hot narratives are. But let me do something real quick. Let's pick Myria. Myria is a gaming crypto. Market cap of 66 million. Now, some people do market cap hunt. So they try to find something for 10 million market cap or less because they feel like that has a higher potential to, you know, make more X's when it goes up, which is true. But it's not always a good policy to just try to go for the lowest market cap coins. You want to go for the best coins. Now, if you can find a low market cap coin that check off all your boxes, then yeah, go for it. But let's check out Myria. So let's say I was trying to research Myria to see if it was a good investment. First, I'm going to look at the chart. Or, like, for example, let's see when it first came out. This is the chart. First came out in April 2023. Usually when they first come out, they're going to go down. You know, they come out and people who bought it before it came out, the pre-sale or whatever, they sell off and it goes all the way down. So this is why it's usually not a good idea to buy a crypto as soon as it comes out. You want to wait till the hype die off and it bottoms out. Because like I said earlier, you want to buy at the bottom and sell at the top. Not, you know, buy at the top and then be devastated when they go down here and sell at the bottom. So, okay, it came out April 23. It did the normal dip that every new coin does. And then at some point, starting at 10/23, 6 months later, starts skyrocketing. And it did a, let's see if we can figure out the X. It went from a 7.4 million market cap on 10/13 to a 226 market cap on March 4th. So let's see. So from October to March, what's that? 5 months. So let's do the math. So that was 226 divided by, let's just do 226 divided by 7. 226 divided by 7. We're going to get back to the dingbats. But let's do 226 divided by 7. So it did a 32X in 5 months. So if you would have waited until it crashed out, let's go back. So it came out. Let's say you heard about it. It came out. You waited until it crashed out. Now, here's the thing. After it crashed out, you want to see that it's not really crashing no more. Like, it's consolidating. Like, you see over this time, it ain't really crashing down no more. It's just kind of going up in a small increment, going down. Like, it's basically staying the same, you know, for months. That's usually a sign that, you know, you've reached the bottom. And that's probably a good time to buy. Well, obviously, considering what Bitcoin is doing. Because at any point, if Bitcoin crash, you know, 70%, all these coins are going to, you know, crash to crap. But right here, I would have looked at this and said, it's consolidating. It ain't really going down no more. These would have been good times to buy. So if you would have bought, like, yeah, let's say you would have bought 1021. So from 10, you would have bought and put $1,000 in on 1021 and just held it. And you would have held it and you would have saw it going up, boom, saw it going up. Now, I would have sold somewhere up here. Like, once we start getting into a 10X, a 20X, I would have sold. Don't hold it and wait for 100X. You know, you ain't going to time the perfect top. Now, see, if you would have tried to hold up to 12/14, 2023, on 12/16, it dipped a lot, and by 12/24, it would have been way back down. So yeah, like I said, once you see a 10X, get out. So it probably did a 10X in, I don't know, maybe a month or two. But yeah, that's enough for crypto for now. Let's go back to some nonsense. But the point I wanted to make is, though, but just think about it. In 5 months, you would have 10 to 20X your money. You can't do that in the stock market. I mean, it's riskier. And I would say don't invest. Somebody does appreciate the analysis on the crypto. Okay. So one thing I'll say about crypto, don't invest more than you can afford to lose. Now, that means different things for different people. but I'm just put it like this. If you got, I mean, if you got a job and let's say you got $10,000 in a savings account, which most people don't, but if you got a $50,000 a year job and you got $10,000 in a bank account, you could afford to lose two grand. You know, your life isn't going to be over with, you know, you ain't going to miss no car payments. You know, you still got $8K in your bank account. Like, you can afford to lose $2K. You're going to be mad about it, but your life isn't over. Like, there's no drastic changes that are going to happen because you lost that $2K. That's how I would define can afford to lose. You know what I mean? So yeah. But let's just hypothetically say you put $1,000 in Myria. Within 5 months, you would have turned $1,000 into 32 grand. Think about that for a minute. Hey, it's risky. That's why I say, to me, it's worth the risk. To me, it's worth, if I got $10,000 in a bank account, to risk $1,000 to potentially turn $1,000 into $32,000 in 5 months. That's worth the risk. But you also got to go in with the mind state of, there's a good chance I'm going to lose this $1,000. Like, there's a pretty fair chance I'm going to lose either half or all of this. Just go into it thinking it's a strong possibility I could lose all of this. But it's all about calculated risk. Yeah, Neo, this is definitely more important than talking about the bird brains. But, you know, some people, when you know, if they subscribe to a channel for one thing, they don't really want to hear about, you know, shit else. They like, get back to the bird brains. I ain't signed up to this channel to hear about financial stuff. But like I said, the point that I'm making is, to me, crypto is worth the risk. It's not a complete gamble like a casino. There's a lot of things that go into this and a lot of things to consider, but it's not a complete gamble like playing at the crap table. Some people say that, like, oh, you might as well just go to the casino. No, it's how can I word this? Should I say less risk? It's more of a calculated risk than just playing craps. You know, there's a method to the madness of when things go up, what's a good investment, what's not a good investment. So it's not just a complete gamble. And another thing I want to say, the higher the market cap usually and the longer a crypto has been around, the lower the risk. So, for example, I mean, the safest cryptos to invest in would be Bitcoin and Ethereum. But there's no such thing as just 100% safe investment, period. I mean, Bitcoin could go to zero in a couple of years. Who knows? But if we want to talk about safety, the safest things would be like Bitcoin and Ethereum, the top two cryptos. But like I said, the higher the market cap, the less risk. Like the chance of Bitcoin going to zero is, you know, the next year. It's unlikely. It's possible, but I wouldn't bank on it. Versus the likelihood of this $5 million, you know, this new coin that's $5 million going to zero, a lot higher. This is a lot riskier. This is a newer coin, and it only has a $5 million market cap. And it only got $1 million trading in it, you know, this past 24 hours. A lot riskier. Versus Bitcoin has $29 billion traded within and out of it the last 24 hours. You see how that's a lot less risky? But yeah, Bitcoin right now is 64,000. I think at the end of 2022, it was 15,000. So Bitcoin is way up, and that's something to consider. If you're investing in crypto when Bitcoin is way up, that's a lot riskier than investing in crypto when Bitcoin just crashed 60%. You know what I mean? This got a long way back down to 15K from 64K. So this is a pretty risky time to invest. But hey, when it comes to investing, you got to have big nuts, because big risk also means big rewards. But if I was talking to somebody who was completely new to crypto, I don't know if this is this is one of the riskier times to invest in crypto. But this is a great time to start learning about crypto. Be very careful who you listen to, though. Try to listen to people who are very practical. If they always talking about hundreds and thousands of X's, that ain't the person you want to listen to in crypto. That ain't the Twitter channel you want to follow, and that ain't the YouTube channel you want to follow. If they keep doing all this sensational 100X, 1000X, this the next 100X, next 1000X. Look, we looking for a clean 10X. And honestly, if you're just looking for a clean 10x, you'd be better off investing in top 20 coins. Me, I like a little more risk. You know what I mean? Well, actually, how can I put this? I want my 10x, but I wouldn't mind having the opportunity for a 20 and 30x. You know what I mean? Because some of this stuff can go up so fast. Before I even get a chance to sell my 10x, it might have went 20x. You know what I mean? Even though I'm just looking for a 10x, something might go up fast more than that. So I go a little more risky than the top 10, 20 coins. But if you want to play it more safe, just stick to the top 25 coins. But let's go back to the ding bets. At some point, I kind of want to teach y'all my process of, let's just do it real quick. So if I was researching Myria, I would look at the market cap. Okay, $66 million. $1 million trading in it. Cool. I would look at, okay, it had a run up and now it's crashed back down. So since it's crashed back down, after I do my research, if everything check out, this ain't a bad time to start buying if I think the market going to keep going up. You know what I mean? This is kind of, it crashed a lot. So if I was going to buy this coin, I wouldn't buy it up here when it's already pumped, you know, a lot. I would do it buy here when it crashed a lot. So then I buy here, and then if it go back up to here, I'd have made buku money. But let's just look at my process. I look at the market cap, how much money people are trading in and out of it. I want to see it usually a good number here. I wouldn't invest in anything that has less than $1 million of volume within 24 hours. That's one criteria. At least need to have $1 million trading in and out of it within 24 hours. Another big thing is circulating supply. So this is how many coins are on the market, basically. So in the stock world, I think this would mean how many shares are on the market. I like to see at least 20% of the supply to be on the market. I'll just say that. This got 43, so it checks out. So they have something called like token unlocks. They have different, they have certain dates where more coins come on the market. So for example, this crypto may have, let's see if I can scroll down to it. Oh, you see where it says Myria token unlocks? Here it is. Here's the chart. So I think an unlock might be today. So some more coins got put on the market today, I think. And a lot of times that suppresses the price. But that's a whole, that's too comp. That's like level 5 of learning about crypto. So I checked the circulating supply. You know what I mean? Usually the higher this is, the better. The more coins that are on the market, the better. The less, you know, opportunity that more coins have to come on the market and suppress the price. What else do I look at? I also want to look at the community for this coin. So I would go to, for example, their Twitter. They have 231K followers. Now, they could be fake or whatever, but there's ways to try to figure that out. But this is a good number. This is a lot of people for crypto. 231,000 people are into this coin, potentially. It's a good sign. If a coin only got 2,000, 4,000 Twitter followers, that's not a good sign. So I want to see that they have a community behind them that could pump the coin up. Another thing to look at, their Discord. Let's see how many people they have in their Discord. 211,000, another really good sign. So this is you could make the assumption that this is a pretty popular coin. So that's a good sign. And it's in a popular narrative right now, which is gaming. Everybody's saying that gaming is going to be huge in crypto. What else? Another thing you look at is the watch list. How many people do have this in their watch list? 71,000 people. That's a lot. You know what I mean? So people know about this coin. This is a popular coin that people would potentially jump into when the market is going up. So that's a good sign. Another thing, these are the exchanges that you can buy this coin on. So you definitely want a coin to have some good exchanges. If the coin is only on two, only got two things here, that's not a good sign. I like that I can see what are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 10 on this page. So I don't know how many they got all together, but this is a good amount of exchanges that you can buy this coin on. Because it's hard for people to buy up this coin if it's not a lot of places for them to buy the coin. And some of these exchanges, I don't know if are, well, I know that some of these exchanges aren't available to Americans. Actually, most of these aren't. That's not a deal breaker, but Bitmark Americans can use. What else? Uniswap is a decentralized exchange. But that's a whole nother conversation. But you want to see a lot of exchanges is what I'm saying. So that's something I look for. What else? I think I'm gonna stop there. Hopefully you learned something from RB about crypto today.
Honestly, like, being a single mom is honestly like a really hard place to be, because the second that somebody shows interest, one, I have trust issues, so you're lying. And then second,
well, yeah. See, this is why we don't want to date women with baggage and trust issues and all this stuff from their past. Because I didn't do nothing to you, bitch. I'm just coming in with a clean slate trying to be a decent human being. And you, I got trust issues. Nah, I don't want to deal with that. That's not my problem. This is why women need to heal. But women don't heal. That's the point. There's no amount of therapy. Women never truly heal. This woman is damaged for life. She's never not going to have those trust issues. And this is why you don't sign up for used goods when it comes to women.
Like, my brain immediately is just like, why? I have nothing to offer you. Like, my gas light is on. My change oil notification just came on. I'm fairly certain that my tag is expired. My toenail polish has grown out. My heels are crusty. I'm surviving off of my kids' leftover chicken nuggets and coffee from the day before. What about that is appealing to anybody?
At least she's being honest. I can respect that she's at least keeping it real. You're right. There's nothing appealing about that to anybody. But here's the thing. She still got an inbox full who would try to put up with it. I mean, well, she got an inbox full of dudes who would just bypass all that to hit some skins on a regular. And then you got, there's still some dudes in there, maybe 20%, who are actually simps who would actually try to take this serious and build a family with this. Why? Because they don't really have any other options. So they would feel blessed just to have a woman who's not hideous, you know, touch their pee-pee and say hi to them and smile at them. That's heaven to them. That's heaven to those guys. But I hope guys like that find this channel so I can save their lives. But I appreciate this woman being honest, though.
Ever. So I'll just be here. Alone.
Oh, real quick. Let me pull up something real quick. Let me pull up this. Oh, here we go. It says Confessions of a... You can read it. I'm not even going to say the word on my channel. I'm just going to say it. Confessions of a UFO Hunter. Ross Coulthart interviews Lou Elizondo. This is a guy who supposedly led the secret UFO investigation department in the U.S. government. Look, go to newsnation.com or News Nation on YouTube. And look at this 42-minute interview. They're real, guys. I've done individual... Oh, hold on. What happened? What happened, y'all? Hold on. Hold on. All right, we back. So, yeah, guys, go to News Nation YouTube channel and look at this interview, Confessions of a UFO Hunter. I've done my own personal research. And if you trust my word, I'm telling you based on my personal research and based on everything that I think is about to come out over the next couple of years, extraterrestrials are here. They have been abducting people for decades. But I think it's generational. Like, they abduct the same families. Like, it you know, if you got abducted, there's a good chance your kid's going to get abducted. I think it has something to do with genetic modification or something like that. But anyway, they're here. They've been here. Yes, they're covert. This is going to sound crazy, but I believe based on my research, there is a Galactic Federation, as crazy as that sounds, that and they have a no interference rule or something to that degree. And that's why we don't just see aliens flying around. I mean, we see them flying around, but, you know, it's not just blatant. They're not blatant with what they're doing, other than you seeing them from time to time in the sky. But that's why they don't land on the White House lawn and just hop out and, you know, they're not really trying to directly interfere with our affairs. But they're definitely behind the scenes doing things. I'll just say that. But whatever. I don't want to get too off track. A new episode of Modern Dating Cure should be dropping right now. So I'm going to get off this live stream and I'm going to, you know, do my 1-2 with promoting the new episode that just dropped right now and posting it on all the different platforms. So I'll see y'all next time. Check out the new episode, though. When you leave here, go check out the new episode of Modern Dating Cure that should be dropped now. And I'll holler at y'all soon.